lots of ink has been spilled on trying to understand the great mystery behind what really happened with the spies, with the Meraglim in Parshat Shlach. How does a group of people hand-chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu to go and prepare the journey of Bnei Yisrael, of the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, how do they turn around the situation so drastically? And from hope, promise, and optimism, they create mass hysteria and dissuade an entire nation from having the hope to ever enter the land. The most famous is the Ramban, and one of the longest Rambans on Chumash, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, the great 13th century commentator from Spain, has a very long shtickle on the beginning of Shlach, and the Ramban really raises another question. In his words, Ma Pisha Mo Machatosam, says, I don't even know what their sin was. Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to give him a report and describe accurately what they see. That's exactly what they did. You want they should come and say, we weren't terrified. The nations there are not mighty. There are no giants. It's an easy cake to swallow. No big deal. He asked for a report. They gave a report. Ma pisha machatosam, asks the Ramban. Was willst du? He asks even more. If somebody made this mistake, it was Moshe Rabbeinu l'chayin. In Parshas Ekev, Moshe describes the terror of entering Eretz Yisrael in much more dramatic terms than the Meraglim. In Parshas Ekev, Moshe describes to the Jewish people that they're passing the Jordan and they're going into Goyim G'doylim Batsumim Me'emekah. You're going to confront mighty nations, mighty empires. Moshe, 40 years later, is inculcating equal fear in the Jewish heart than the Meraglim. This is what Ramban asks in Parshas Shlach. And the most common answer to the great question of the Ramban, he himself elaborates, and many other Mefarshim, the Akedas Yitzchak, many others, is that the Ramban, the mistake of the Meraglim was not the factual report. The mistake was the conclusion of the report. They added one word, as the Ramban puts it. They come and say, we went to the land, beautiful fruits. Efes. Efes kiyaz ha'am ayoshev baretz. One word. Efes means, like we say in modern Hebrew today, chaval al hazman. Efes. There's nothing doing. There's no hope. Loinucha lalois. We can't do it. This we didn't ask you for. I asked you to find out how to do it, not whether to do it. That's not a question. You're a spy, you're a scout. I asked you to find out what is going on, the roads, the highways, the nature of the armies, the weapons, the mechanisms, the culture, the people, the security, the watchtowers, the siege walls. Come back and give me a report. Whether to do it or not, now you're already crossing the line. Now you're stepping out of your boundaries. This was one famous perspective. There is, of course, the other aspect, and that is, how do they transform a people? They become terrified. They become intimidated. And as they say, there's an expression, whether you believe you can, or you believe you can't, you're right. Because in many ways, our attitudes to things become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the most important component of leadership, especially in a time of challenge and stress, is confidence. The leader is confident, and the leader inspires confidence in his or her people. And when that lacks, it's not only you're missing confidence and it's replaced by fear, but you really can't do it anymore. Because the fact that you are so afraid of doing it really depletes you from the energy, from the capacity to be able to do it. Somebody was shocked with me an interesting story. I think it's a lesson for life. There was a man, and he had a job. It was a quite a monotonous job. He would upload and unload merchandise on trains that would travel, you know, long distances. And he was naturally a pessimist. He always spoke about how miserable his life is, and he's cursed. He doesn't have a normal livelihood, and everything is difficult for him. This was his motto, his mission statement in life. Life is miserable, period. Vayiyayim, one day, he had to upload some food on a long journey on a train that was going a 48-hour journey to Vancouver. Shaykh, he uploads the food. You had milk, and you had eggs, and you had some other dairy products. And as he's about to leave, there's some issue over there. The doors close. There's a bar. He can't get out. He's stuck. He's stuck now 48 hours in this cabin. There's nobody around. This is a merchandise train, and it's before the cell phone era. And it's going to be a long journey, and there's one problem. He realizes that this room is supposed to be refrigerated. So he starts writing his tavor. So he takes out a pen, he finds a cardboard, and he begins writing a letter to his wife, and it begins, "I always knew something like this would happen to me. And I would end my life in a refrigerated train, dying from refrigeration, from frost." And he writes his last will and testament to his wife and his children. And life moves on. The train arrives to Vancouver, and the unloaders open the door, and there's somebody unconscious on the floor. They rush him to the hospital, and they're shocked because he was unconscious, but the refrigerator wasn't on. And this tells the story of many people's lives. So in many ways, what happens with the miraglim is a self-fulfilling prophecy. We really can't do it. We're grasshoppers, and they create this mood in the nation. And once you feel you can't, then you can't. But after all is said and done, the big question still remains. You can understand all of these sentiments, cross boundaries, go beyond your boundaries, change your mission, change your shlichus. Nobody asked you whether, we asked you if. Become overwhelmed and intimidated by fear and start believing that you really can't, it's a hopeless situation. We can understand, these are natural patterns of the human psyche. The question is, when we think about who these people were, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Parashat Shlach, when Hashem tells Moshe, "Shlach lecha anashim," so Moshe chose them, and the pasuk describes, the same pasuk that described, the same Torah that describes their sin, "Kulam anashim rashid bnei Yisrael hem." They were all men, the leaders of the Jewish people. So the Klei Yakar, humorously, or actually not humorously, says the problem is they were men, they weren't women. He came at the right moment. "Kulam anashim," they were men, not women. If Moshe would have said women, that's what the Klei Yakar writes. This is not a modern interpretation. The Klei Yakar writes, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have sent women, this you can give over at Yishambu study. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have sent women, all would have been good, because the women were in love with Eretz Yisrael, like we see with Bnei Slocha. The problem is called a manoshim. He sent men, that was the tragedy. That's what the Klei Yakar writes, you can look it up. Oisius Machkim was a fascinating Klei Yakar. He says, that was the tzara. The miraglim should have all been women. Mamash HaKlei Yakar. Anyway, but fine, Zolzayn men. So with all of our issues against men, but Rashi Bnei Yisrael, they were the leaders of the Jewish people. And even Rashi in Pshutei Shel Mikra says, Lashon Kol Anashim Shebemikra Lashon Chashivus Va'oyster Shok Sheirim Hayu. Quoting from the Medrash Tanchuma, at that time they were kosher, they were worthy. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the shepherd of the Jewish people, and certainly the greatest prophet, as we just learned at the end of Baaloyscha, B'chol Beitzi Nemanu, handpicked these 12 people, understanding that they are the most suitable from millions of Jews in order to fulfill this mission. They are Nesiim, and the Torah goes to enumerate them. Here is the question. How does this occur? To people who Oyster Shok Sheirim Hayu, of such great prominence, handpicked by Moshe Rabbeinu, even though they weren't handpicked by the Ribbono Shel Olam, to go through such a transformation, become so timid, become so intimidated, become so overwhelmed by fear, In contrast to a clear, direct promise of the Creator of the world who took you out of Egypt and gave you the Torah with the condition to enter into the promised land, this is your ultimate destiny, this is your ultimate vision. What happened to these miraglim? How did they say Ephes? How do they say Leilu Chalalas? How is it that they really start believing we can't, when everything in Jewish history till now has been supernatural and miraculous? It becomes even more strange when we start observing the sugyas in Gemara and Medrashim about the Meraglim. And there's a lot about this, but I chose two. One from Gemara and one from Zoya. One from the world of Nigla and one from the world of Kabbalah. It says the Gemara in Soita da Flamenea Meraglim, which is a whole sugya there about the Meraglim. Zog the Gemara, quoting the Pasuk, Va'anoshim asher olu imoy omru loy nuchal lalois. The 10 men who came up with Kalev and Yehoshua, the other 2 spies, said, there's no way we can go up. Because he, meaning he, the leaders of the land of Israel, are stronger mimenu. Mimenu means from him. Who is mimenu? They are stronger from us. Meitamu. Who's mimenu? Mimenu means from him. Who's him? Moshe, Aaron. Amar Reb Chanina bar Papa. Said Reb Chanina, the son of Papa, Dover Godel, Dibru Meraglim, Boyser Shop. The Meraglim said something very dramatic at that moment. Dover Godel. Ki chazak hu mimenu, al tikri mimenu, el mimenu kevayachal. The mimenu is referring to him, kevayachal Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom. Kevayachal, afilu ba'al habayis, eina yachal ohitzi kelev misham. Even the master has no way to extract his own vessels, his own furniture, his own utensils from the home where he put it. He has a lot of kelim, he has a lot of utensils, beautiful pieces of furniture that he put into somebody's house and he asked that person to watch it. And now the Balabayas wants to come back and take out his kelim. And the man says, you don't walk into my house. It's my kelim, I don't care if it's your kelim. And he can't. The Meraglim said, it's his land. It's his Caleb. It's his world. He put everything that's there. Stuck. Ain't a Yachal Oitzi Caleb. He himself, Kibayachal, can't come to it. Now I ask you, how do you understand? Mela, a person, an ordinary person, has doubts in the existence of a creator, in the capacity of a creator. This is a world, Oilam, the Gemara says in Psochim, Oilam is connected to the word Helam, concealment, Nasa Adam, Zag the Medrash, Haroit Salitois, Yita. There's a lot of room for error, for confusion, for ambivalence in a very confusing world. We all know that and experience it. But here you're talking about people standing in the desert literally a year and a few months after the exodus of Egypt. Not 10 years, not 30 years, not 100 years, not another generation. This happened, the Meraglim was sent on Chod Tes Sivan, the 29th of Sivan. Yitzias Mitzrayim happened Pesach. 1 year later, they built the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. They did a second Karim Pesach, as we learned last week in Baal Oischa. Chof Iyer, they left from Har Sinai. There was the story of the Mesoidinim, Kivris HaTaydus, Gedan Lebedik. Miriam becomes a leper. Chof Ches Sivan, the 28th of Sivan. She comes back into the camp. And Chof Tes Sivan, Moshe sends the Meraglim. Erev Rish Chodesh Tammuz, they're there 40 days and they come back, as the Gemara says, in Tainus at the end, on Tisha B'Av, 40 days later, the night of Tisha B'Av. This is 1 year after Matan Torah. 1 year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. If you would have turned to the Meraglim when they were giving the speech and said, by the way, interesting, what did you eat today for breakfast? What did you have for breakfast? The eggs were with cheese or without cheese? You had an iced coffee or a cappuccino. I said, what are you talking about? We ate man. Really, where did this, where did you pick up this man? Where did you pick it up? On the 59 or on the 306? They said it comes from heaven. That's what you had for breakfast. And for lunch and for dinner, the same thing. Manna from heaven. What did you drink after dinner? Oh, we have this rolling rock that irrigates us. We call it Be'er Shamir, the well of Miriam. Tell me, how do you walk up and down mountains with all of these little kinderlach? Well, we have clouds that flatten the way. Tell me, how did you get out of a superpower, Egypt? Nobody could escape Egypt. It was the superpower. The longest empire in history was the Egyptian Empire. Well, the Mysore with 10 plagues, and how did you get through the sea? The sea was split. For these people, the supernatural was reality. There was an Israeli leader, he once said that Jews won the wars for two reasons. There was the natural reason and the supernatural reason. Supernatural way they won the wars is with the army, and the natural reason was through Tehillim. For these Jews, the supernatural was the natural. Their breakfast, lunch, supper, day in, day out, was a supernatural existence in the desert. They experienced this firsthand, every single one of them. They stood at Har Sinai, they saw Matan Torah, they experienced Kriyas Yamsuf. They get up and they tell Jews, and the water converted to blood. How did that happen? How did the frogs appear? And how was the Makas Pchoyrus? And how was the Kriyas Yamsuf? And how was the Matan Torah? And how was the man today? And tomorrow and yesterday? And Be'er Shalim? And what are you talking about? And nobody says a word. Shashtil. Vayifku kolom. They're all screaming. They start screaming at Moshe Rabbeinu and they say what? What do we have to die? We're going to die, be defeated. I don't understand. A few months ago, you just left Paris. You'll answer that in Eretz Yisrael. There were 31 empires. If you're going with the natural, you couldn't even defeat Paris. If you're going with the supernatural, 31 empires. You're going to make a big difference. This is very strange. They suddenly are speaking about Hashem. What's the meaning of this? How does this transformation happen? Moshe Rabbeinu sent Koifrim. Even if you wanted, you couldn't be a Koifer at that generation. So you take a look at the Zohar, and the Zohar applies it to our generation. The Zohar gives it a very contemporary perspective, a different angle. Zohar Chela Gimel Daf Kufin and Ches Parsha Shlach. Vayishlach Ha'isa Moshe. Zohar the Zohar Kulam Anoshim means Kulam Zakoyin, Kulu Zakoyin, Ava Vereshim, the Yisrael Av. Zakoyim means tzaddikim. They were all tzaddikim and they were all leaders of the Jewish people. Aval inun dibru legarmayu eta bisha. Eta is in Aramaic is etza. But they, on their own, decided to seek on etza ra, bad counsel. Amay notli eta da. Why did they decide this scheme, this etza, to dissuade the Jewish people from entering the land? Ela amru, this is what they said, the Zohar says. Iyalon Yisrael la'arav. Jews will go into the land. Nisaber anan milameveration. There'll be new elections. The Rosh Hakol is going to be replaced. It's going to be in the order. Right? The young chevra are going to say, there's young people in the shul. We need young leadership in the shul. We need a new rabbi. We need a new gabbai. We need a new Rosh Hakol. We need a new board. We need new elections. Nisaber anan. We're going to be removed. Moshe is going to appoint new Nesiim, new leaders. The Anan, the Kinnon, the Midbar, the Ma'avarish. We had the privilege to be leaders here in the desert. Avabara, my Nesi. There's going to be a change of guards. What do you think? We're still going to be the leaders in Eretz Yisrael. Val the Notli, Eta Bisha, the Garmayu, Maisu, Inun, the Chalinun, the Notlon Milai. And because they embraced this negative scheme, therefore they perished, and all those who accepted their words, the Notlon Milayim. So according to the Zohar, it was a very simple issue. They didn't want them to go into the land. They were very happy to stay here, because they would become ordinary folk. They might not be Nesiyah. Asks the Shem Shmuel, Shmuel Sachachover, Shmuel Bornstein, the son of the Avnei, the Sachachover Rebbe, in his Torah on Shlach, I wrote Topshin Ayin Hei, Top Resh Ayin Hei, exactly 100 years ago, 1915. V'yesh l'tmoya, he says. And he asks Gevaldik, Me'acher dekulu zakoyin hava v'reisha v'yisrael hava. You give an introduction. You tell me they're all tzaddikim, and they're all manhige Yisrael leaders. Hayitochen. Shebishvil negiyas atzmo ubakoshas hasrora yashchisu es kol ha'inyin. Beautiful words. We all have negiyas. Everyone is biased. Who's not biased? People are jealous. People want covet. People want power. People want influence. This is part of the human condition. What do they say in Yiddish? A mensch is nor a mensch un a mol dos euchnech. A human being is sometimes a human being and sometimes not even that. But everything has limits. Even all of us sitting in the room, we're not necessarily, I can't speak for you, I can speak for myself, we're not necessarily tzaddikei hadar and Rashi bnei Yisrael. But when you know that the whole destiny of the Jewish people is about to unfold, and you have a part in the process, but you have a personal issue, and that is, right, when Mashiach is going to come, you may not be the president of your shul. Or you may not be the Morad Asra of your shul. Or you may not be the Rosh HaKol. Or you may not be the leader of this institution, that organization, that community. Okay, it doesn't feel good. You liked it, you enjoyed it. I don't know exactly what you enjoy about it, but whatever it is that you enjoy about being a leader, we all know what Yeshua told Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Baal Yisrael, an elder and maid that started to prophesize. Yeshua says, Adoni Moshe Kloyim. What does Kloyim mean? So Rashi brings two interpretations, and the first interpretation is, Hatel Aleim Tzarchi Tzibur Vehem Kolim Me'eleim. If you hate somebody, just make him a community leader, and all will be solved. Put on him Tzarchi Tzibur, and he will be finished on his own. By the way, you're excluded. You're going to be a leader after Mashiach comes, don't worry. So the point is, the Shevi Shmuel says, we all have agendas, but there's a limit. You know that the whole Jewish people will be saved. Mashiach is finally going to come, but you're not going to be the leader of your community, so you're going to destroy the whole mission. It's a bizarre darbenkeit that's not rational. It's a unique hashchosa. People do things for covet, yeah. There's corruption, yeah. There's politics, yeah. Not here, but there's politics. There's superficiality, yeah. There's pettiness, yeah. Mentions and a mention, we all know that. We have yitzharas. There's different dynamics in people's minds, and you have to know how to navigate life amidst turmoil. But the psidashir. So I understand a person who's careless and clueless and lowly and brute and completely detached. I couldn't care less. It's a stroll, journey, destiny. I don't care. I want to be a leader. But the Zoya tells me they would tzaddik in Rosh Hashanah Yisrael. Ask the Shemesh Fool what happened. I don't understand. Shadavar kazel lo yitachin afilu l'pashat shabapshutim. Even a simple, ordinary person, I wouldn't suspect this. Lahashchis es kol tikvas Yisrael, to undermine the entire hope of the Jewish people. It's not a small thing. We're going Sunday on a field trip. We're going to go Sunday skiing or boating, and they say no. The whole tikva, the whole point, the whole objective, the journey of the Jewish people to their homeland. V'ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, and the will of Hashem, and he adds, and the gift that the fathers of the world, from Yitzhak and Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, are waiting for this. Hashem keeps on promising. Ubinyan beis hamikdash. V'kishur, this is interesting. V'kishur shamayim v'aretz. What will happen is the link, the marriage, the knot between heaven and earth. V'chol ha'toyim shaba'olam. All this has to go down the drain because of a personal negi, a personal bias that somebody else may be the leader, not me. And remember, social security you're going to get. Emeritus, what do they call it? The Rabbi Emeritus, what was the expression? The Schultz. Emeritus status you retain. By the dinner they'll give you one. Stop shot, you're being fired, you're being thrown to the gutter. You won't be active duty. Nu is vos. Is vos. You'll go into retirement. You with the nasi in the desert. People will give you cover. You'll still get shishi. You'll still have a place in Israel. They'll even allow you to have your own old shtender. They'll give you your shtender. That's why nobody's allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a psapella. Ma gam zakoyim v'reishet Yisrael yasu kozois. Even with simple people, I wouldn't understand this. Tzadikim and leaders. V'oit. Then the Shem Shmuel asks a practical question. Mi li yodam yitka shemoshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom lo yaviru migdolosam nam bevidbar acher shehem yiyu gram benezakim. Do you really think Moshe is going to keep you in the position after you make such a churban? Did they really believe they're going to come back? They're going to give the report. They'll destroy the whole plan. Nobody's going to want to go in. And Moshe will keep them as leaders with such people who make such a nezek, such a damage, do they really think so? So they won't gain anything anyway. No Eretz Yisrael, and no leadership. God garnished. They'll come out with nothing. This is the second question of the Shem Shmuel.
So both the Gemara's perspective is very perplexing. The Zohar's perspective is very perplexing.
Let's see something else that's very interesting. Another source. Take a look at your next source of the Gemara Megillah Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We all know a halacha that's prevalent in Jewish life every moment of the day. Not every moment of the day, but every single day. And that is Ein Dover Shebekdusha Pachas Nasar. Holy declarations and conversations and shuls, but in Midrashim, you need a minyan. You want a chazan to be able to say Baruch Hu in Kedusha, you need 10 Jews. You want Kriyas HaTorah, you need 10 Jews. Nesiyas Kapayim, you need 10 Jews. HaKadosh, you need 10 Jews. Etc. This is a Mishnah, Masechta Megillah. The Mishnah goes through a whole list of basic, holy things you need 10 Jews. How do you know? How do you know? Zabdi Gemara. Minam Emili, how do you know? Amar Reb Chiyah Barabah, Amar Reb Yoichin, and Amar Kro, the Pasuk says in Emor, V'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael, kol dover shebekdusha l'yei pachis masar. V'nigdashti, you should sanctify me, b'toich, amidst the children of Israel. So that means if you want v'nigdashti, you want to be mekadesh shem shamayim, you want to bring kedusha to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it has to be b'toich b'nei Yisrael, you need asara. Fregdi gemara my mashma, where do you have your 10? It says v'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. B'nei is minimum 2. B'nei, not ben, but b'nei. So 2 Jews, macha kedusha, macha kadosh, macha kriya, macha baruch hu. Zog the gemara, the Tani Reb Chiya learned, Torah Brais, as ye toich toich, it doesn't just say v'nigdashti b'bnei Yisrael, the toich b'nei Yisrael, that's a strange word, the toich, in the middle, in the midst. We learn out, toich from toich. What does it say, when does it say toich? K'siv ha'cha v'nigdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. Uksiv Hasim in Parshas Korach it says he bodlu mitoich ha'eda haza. When Korach and his people create a mutiny against Moshe and Aaron, so what does Moshe tell the Jewish people? He bodlu, stay away from this evil community, from this evil congregation, eda, assembly of people. Va'asya, what does he call them? Eda. Va'asya eda eda. What's an eda? So now we learn out Eda, Eda from somewhere else. Diksiv Hasim. It says there, where is there? Parashat Shlach Beinik Yudalit Pasuk Chav Zayin. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Mosai La Eda Hara Hazois Asher Heima Malinim Alay Es Tlunis Bnei Yisrael. How long will I have to deal with Eda Hara Hazois, this evil community? Rashi says right away, from here we learn whenever it says Eda, community, it's 10 people. How many Meraglim were there? 12. Yeshua and Kalev remain Tzaddikim. Who's the Eda Ara? Only 10 people. From here you learn that an Eda is called 10. Admosai La'Eda. The 10 Meraglim are called an Eda. This is the source. So now when you want to know how to say a davar shebekdusha, it has to be ba'asara. Why? Because it says toich. What's toich? He bought will be toich ha'edi. You need an eda. Okay, but I don't know what an eda is. So the Meraglim teach me what an eda is. An eda is 10 people. Here we have a fascinating phenomenon. The source in Torah to know what and how to say a davar shebekdusha, as Rashi puts it right on the pasuk, we know it has to be by an Eda. What's an Eda? How do we know what an Eda is? From the Meraglim. And this, in our generation, emerged in a fascinating halachic discussion. Somebody wrote a letter to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechet Tzadik Levrach. It's printed in Eigris Moshe, or Achayim, Chelek Aleph, I think Simen Chav Gimel, and a continuation in Chelek Gimel of Eigris Moshe, or Achayim, and asked him a question. This is a very common question, especially in many communities. Are you allowed to combine to a minyan a secular Jew? A Jew drives up Shabbos
right? Comes to his Chabad house, or wherever, whatever type of community. He's a Jew, did not grow up with Torah, did not grow up with mitzvahs. He wants to come to shul, he wants to join, he's appreciating. Are you allowed to be a mitzar of dominion? What's the question? What do you think? It's not so simple. What did Moshe say? Yeah, what's his source? He says, look at the source of the minyan. Who's the first minyan? Look at the minyan! Tzadikim! This is where Moshe Paskin's halacha, fascinating tshuva. So a Rav attacks him, criticizing him. How do you say this? Maybe after Moshe screamed at them, they did tshuva. So the Moshe continues the letter in Chela Gimel and Igris Moshe and Arachayim. And he says, what are you talking about? Look at the part. I must say, not after they did tshuva. Even if they did tshuva, they probably didn't do tshuva. It doesn't look like they did tshuva. They died. I must say, this is the source of a minyan. How do you know a minyan? Because a minyan has to be Eidah. How much is an Eidah Meran? So from the Meranim we learn out, a dover shebikdusha is not pachas masada. And it's a fascinating thing. You're dealing here with people who, as the Shem Shmuel said, destroyed the entire destiny of Klal Yisrael. They weren't just regular secular Jews, so to speak. Tinoikis and Nishbu. Or people who don't know better, or people who didn't have an education. It's not even a mumar lahachis, certainly not a mumar l'tayamim, it's a person who's mamish a kaifer beikir. And from them we learn out the yisoid of Adayoyim Azeh, how do we say Adavar Shabbatusha? How we are Mekadosh Shem Shamayim every day of our life. The question gets a little more interesting. Take a look at the next source. Shulchan Aruch Erechayim Simen Tov Kuf Pei. This is not a Medrash, this is not a Gemara, this is not a Farvorfina Sefer. This is a Halachim. Shulchan Aruch takes it from the Tur. You have the same exact Halachim Tur. Erechayim Simen Tov Kuf Pei. And the Mechaber of Yosef Karo Shulchan Aruch quotes it. These are the days that Saras happened to our fathers, and it's a good thing to fast. These are known in Rishonim and Achronim, the Mishnah Brura calls it, and in Halacha, tiniest tzaddikim. It's the tiniest connected to tzaddikim, and as you know, most of these tiniest are not practiced today by most Jews. They are not the tiniest that were instituted by the rabbis as obligatory. It's royal Isanizbah. There are still Jews who fast these Tanesim. I know a Yid who fasted all of these Tanesim and many more. But it's Roy, it's special, unique Tanesim. Listen to his list. Be'echa b'nissen meisu b'nei Aaron. He starts with a calendar. Rosh Chodesh Nissen, the sons of Aaron, died. Asar b'y meisu Miriam in Estala Kaber. 10th Nissen Miriam dies and the well disappears. Be'chavav b'y meisu Yeshua b'nun. Chavav Nissen Yeshua. Yeshua passes away. Biyud biyir meis Eli Akoyin Ushnei Bonav Nishbar in Hashem. The 10th of year, Alien, his two sons, Chafni and Pinchas, die in the Aron, his kidneys is abducted. Bechav Ches boy, Chav Ches here, may Shmuel Anavi passes. Chav Gimel b'Sivan, Batlu Abikurim, Elalaz L'Yerushalayim, and may Yeravim b'Nevat. Tamir Yeravim b'Nevat, he didn't allow the Abikurim, their new fruits to come to Yerushalayim. Bechav Hei boy, Chav Hei Sivan, Nereg, Reb Shimon, Ben Gamliel, Reb Yishmol, Reb Chanin, Zgan HaKoyanim, three of the Asara Rugim Malchus, we read about on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, Reb Yishimon, Ben Gamliel, Reb Yishmol, Reb Chanin, Skan HaKoyanim are all killed by the Romans on Chav Hei Sivan. Bechav Zayin by Nisrach, Reb Chanin ben Tragin, the Sefer Torah Yimai. Reb Chanin ben Tragin is burnt with the Sefer Torah, the famous story in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, happens on Chav Zayin Sivan. Be'echad Ba'av Meis Aaron HaKoyan, Rosh Chodesh of Aaron dies, the Chumash says clearly. Be Yud Ches boy, Kavanim, my Rabbi B'mei Achaz. Yud Ches of, in the time of Achaz, one of the Malchi Yisrael, quite wicked. Like most of them, the name Aravi, the Menorah, is extinguished in the first Beis Hamikdash. Here I come to my point. Be it Zion Be'elul, you also have to fast. You know why? You want to hear whose yard side it is? Meisu Maitzie Divas Haaretz. The day that the Meraglim, who gave a negative report about the land, is the day they died. Tiniest Tzadikim, another Ben Aviyu, Chanin Ben Tragin, and the next one is Gimel Tishrei, Tzav Gedalia, Hey Tishrei, the day Rabbi Akiva was captured and then killed. We commemorate and we fast on the yard site of the Meraglim. Frek the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef on Tura Rechayim, asks Kashali. Lama iskinu liyasam as biyam shemeis to wait to yidim azaret. Simcha mibayi vayisiyay. They should shtel tikkun.
Yisrael doesn't know that at all the yard sites they started to shtel tikkun with henning and sponge cake.
They don't understand. What are you fasting? Why are you mourning? Simcha.
Yisrael asks.
But why did Rishoyim rina? Such Rishoyim were lost. It's not a reason to be in grief. All the fasts are grief. It's avelos. All the way from Nadav Avihu down the line. Aaron HaKoyen, Miriam, Tzadiki Yoylam. Suddenly, Nana Meraglim's yard site becomes a new celebration. But not a celebration, a source of grief. On the contrary. Veshema, he said, maybe, doesn't know, Neshloi Zochu, Shetaskabot, Shevosam, Mitztarinam, the Mistamish Shavim, Veloi Neskabot. It's a Chiddush of Beis Yosef. Probably they did shuvah and it wasn't accepted. So we're in pain for the fact that they weren't zoicha that their shuvah should be accepted. This is what the Beis Yosef says. The Shalom, Rabbeinu Yeshaya Horowitz, says from here you see that they were tzaddikim. They're in the league of Aaron and Miriam and Adam and Avihu. Now Adam and Avihu also sinned. Chet b'nei Aaron, but still you say b'krei b'ya kaddish. There are sins and there are sins. Just because it's a sin doesn't always mean the person is a Rasha. It's a distinction we sometimes have a hard time making. There are ugly sins and there are holy sins. There are ugly sins and there are noble sins. And just because it's noble doesn't mean it's not a sin. But just because it's a sin, it doesn't mean it's not noble. And the Shalom says, you see, they're in the list of tiniest tzaddikim. Even the Beis Yosef tainis, they wanted to do tshuva. Other mefarshim have different interpretations. The Bach has his pirush. But if that's the case, we can already have a little haptaka, a little sweetness, that when the Torah wants to teach us how you say a dovr shebekdusha, who is the minion? Who is the first minion from where we learn Adav Shem and Kedusha? The Meraglim. The whole point of the Meraglim was against Kedusha. It was a betrayal of Kvod Shemayim. We're saying, Akdishach v'naritzach k'noyam siach soitzar v'koydesh ha'mashal shem l'chol Kedusha. Who was the first aid that we were learning it from? The Meraglim, whose whole mission statement was undermine the covenant of Hashem and the ability of Hashem. And then we put them in the tiniest tzaddik. This demonstrates to us the subtlety of the situation. Even in the earliest sources of Shulchan Aruch and Tur, these are not svarim of Nister, these are svarim of Halacha Mamish. Pshut, pshat, pshat, pshat. On the surface level, they were Rishoyim, they weren't Tzaddik. Rashi calls them Rishoyim, Ksheirim, Rishoyim, Moitziya Diba Sa'aretz, Bali Lashon Hara, etc. Rashi says in the beginning of Shlach, why Shlach comes after Baal Oischam. Because they didn't learn from Miriam. Rishoyim halalu rov aleilakhu musr. And yet we have this subtle sensitivity. What is a Rasha? What is a Tzaddik? As I said at the beginning, a lot of ink has been spilled on Parshas Meraglim, and it's still... Shiurim and Svarim and Mefarshim and Ma'arachis and Chiburim and ideas, etc. Over thousands of years, everyone has what to say on the Meraglim. Certainly, probably what I saw, the most original and creative interpretation, and I think one that speaks volumes about some of our challenges today, but also resonates with truth. You can sense. Sometimes you know you hear Apshetl, okay. What am I going to argue with you? But sometimes things, they resonate with truthfulness. There's the commentary of the Baal HaTanya in the Sefer Likutei Torah Parshas Shlach. It's not just a commentary on the Meraglim, it's a Yisoid in Yiddishkeit. In Likutei Torah Parshas Shlach, the Baal HaTanya Vashulchan Aruch Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, known as Alter Rebbe, says, and I quote, it's a very long two discourses, many pages, but I quoted a few lines just to get this mahalach, a little bit. Hinei lahavin inyin dikduk lashon hakasuv b'mesha amar ma'oid ma'oid shnei pa'amim.
When Kalev responds to the Meraglim say, we cannot go up. So what does he say? What's the Lashon? Toiva ha'aretz, ma'oid ma'oid. V'chein eretz asher yizav aschuli. He says, the land that we passed, Yeshua and Kalev, the land we went is zavas cholov dvash. It flows with milk and honey. Why is that negayeh? Yesh mahakdim shoyrish inyan amaisa de meraglim lamayla. Bamesh leirotzi likonis leirotzi shol v'ginu oisa. We have to discuss the shoyrish of maisa meraglim lamayla to understand the spiritual root of what they did, why they didn't want to go in, and they denigrated it. Hini mevur bein tzchayim. The source is from the Arizal. The Arizal says in tzchayim. The shoyrish ha-meraglim u-mebchines oylam ha-machshava ha-nikra leyeh. The source of the Meraglim is from the world of thought, which is identified with Leah. They come from the generation of the desert, which the Medrash calls the Dur Deya, the Dur of ultimate knowledge and perception. So they didn't want to lower themselves to go into Eretz Yisrael, which is associated with the world of speech, versus the world of thought, which is identified with Rachel. They were connected with the Pchin of Leah. They didn't want to connect to the Pchin of Rachel. Hameraglim hoyu b'madrege gavoya ma'oid. They were in a very high spiritual state. Leirotzu lahashpilas atzman l'mitzvahs maisiyas, shul pchines hamshachas oirin soibar l'chulamata. They didn't want to lower themselves and their generation to the world of mitzvahs maisis, to the world of physical material mitzvahs, to bring down the light of the infinite one down here below. For them, this was a humiliation. It was a denigration. It was a downfall because they were b'madrege gavoya ma'oid. What is the Baal HaTanya saying? This theme is discussed in his Maimarim, in the discourses of his successors, and in the Sfas Emes. In Parshas Shlach, he also discusses this theme, the Kitzur, in his own style, in his own way, but all consistent with this theme that's first articulated in Lakut HaTorah, based on a Vort of Arizal with Leah and Rachel. The Chidush Yarim, the Zayd of the Sfas Emes, the first Rebbe of Ger, Rebbe Yitzchak Meir, Zchus HaYagon Aleinu, Chidush Yarim, Rebbe Yitzchak Meir, Alta of Ger. Gives a fascinating example. He uses the Yiddish expression of something that was very common in his day, known as an Edom of Kest. He says the Jewish people in the Midbar were an Edom of Kest. What's an Edom of Kest? The father-in-law would take a gewaldic, delicious, wonderful son-in-law for his daughter, and he promised him, you sit in my home, and you could learn for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and I will support you, your wife, your children, the entire family. You have no worries in the world, no concerns in the world. You remain sheltered in a world of goodness, of Torah, of Kedusha, of Yerushalayim. Says the Kedusha Harim, the Meraglim am Gevold Bleiben, the an Edom of Kest. This was their situation. They're in the desert. They're surrounded by Anani HaKavod. They have the greatest Rebbes and Rosh Hashivas in the world. They have Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, who comes down and says, this is what I heard from Hashem last night. They're sheltered, they're protected, they're nurtured. No mortgage crisis, no rent, no tuition, no issues with health, no issues with sustenance, no worries, no concerns. Complete dveikus and intimacy with the Creator of the world, the most exalted, utopian, euphoric, almost Mashiach-like existence. Complete dveikus, complete oneness with Moshe at their side, with Aaron at their side, with the Shechina in their midst, eating literally bread from heaven, drinking water from heaven without a single worry in the world. But that was never sugar I need in Eretz Yisrael. You gotta be nuts! Where do you get such an existence? They knew you're going to come and dance a show. It's all going to change. First of all, you're going to have to create an army. You're going to create a government. You're going to have farmers and businessmen and merchants. You're going to have a welfare system. Suddenly there's going to become politics. Now you're going to have to run a state, run a country. Now you're dealing with enemies within and without. And this is not a Jewish state. Right? They say that, I don't know if it's an anecdote too, they say President Eisenhower once met Ben Gurion, and he says, why do you look so depressed? I have 200 million people living here. You have 3 million Jews. Why are you so depressed? He says, you have 200 million citizens, President Eisenhower. I have 3 million prime ministers. Jews are not citizens. Jews are prime ministers. You ever take a taxi in Israel? The taxi driver tells exactly how the government should run, how you should be dressed, why you're staying here, where the country is going, etc. Even that's a taxi driver. In New York, you take a taxi, they don't speak for a few hours. They don't speak. In Israel, Baruch Hashem, they tell you everything, what you have to do, what you don't have to do. The Meraglim knew this, Shei Shalom Tizra Sardecha, Shei Shalom Tizra Karmecha, Vasavtas Tuasa, and then on the 17th, when there's going to be screaming, Manoichal, suddenly, you need a whole economic system, you need a political system, you need a military system, you need an infrastructure. Now you have to start buying buildings and paying mortgages and doing renovation, that itself can kill you. The Gemara says, to put up one building, they have to build a whole country. The Rambam says, the Balatanya Tanya is doing the Madrega Gavoya Moid, and he says, this is the difference of Leah and Rachel. Leah was deeper than Rachel. Leah is Olam HaMachshava. Leah was far more spiritual in a way, aloof, sublime. That's why nobody had a Hasaga in her. He teaches Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah. People don't like that which they don't understand. That which you can't wrap your brain around, you don't like. You'll see when people speak about other people, right? As I'm a shuganer, usually if you don't understand somebody, right, I'm a shuganer. Maybe you just don't understand. We don't like things we don't understand. We're not cooked. They challenge us too much. Rachel is a different madrega. He says the Meraglim were from the state of Leah. That's what Arizal says. But he explains what that means. This was their time. Eretz Oicheles Yoshmeo. Let's put it differently. The Meraglim weren't afraid of failure. They weren't afraid that we're going to lose, we're going to be defeated. You know what they were afraid of? Success. They were afraid of success. I'm not scared I'm going to fail. I'm afraid I'm going to succeed. Because when I succeed, Yemal Pavim Zichon the Tzores. Eretz Oicheles Yoshmeo. It's going to stress you out. It's going to eat you up. You're going to come home at night. You don't know if you're coming or you're going. Now you're going to have to start schlepping to a shiur 9 o'clock at night after all day being abused by your boss. Within 3 minutes, he starts to daf yomi. You're sleeping. You're sleeping within 3 minutes. And then there's shiduchim. And then there's shalom bayis. And then there's the children in school. Who needs this? This is called vekus with Hashem. Eretz Oicheles Yoshmeo, it's going to destroy us. There won't be Jews anymore. There won't be Jews. This was their time. They knew Hashem said to go to Eretz Yisrael. But they felt this is going to destroy their intimacy with God. Because in Eretz Yisrael is going to be a world of teva, a world of nature. Hashem will be there, of course. But now you'll have to discover God in the raindrops that fall from heaven, and in the trees and plants that grow from the earth, and in the interactions in business, and in the traffic jams on the FDR. You're going to have to discover a new type of God. And then you'll have a Shabbos, you'll have a Shmita. Once in 7 years, you'll have a Shmita, you'll sit in Koilu for a year. But you wake up in the morning, there's a regular world. You want more, you want food, there's no manna coming down from heaven. You gotta go to shul and steal from the lockers. I'm just fucking concentrating. So the Chiddush Yerim says in Gevul Zayin, an Edom of Kest. Comes the Sfas Emes,
we'll soon go back to the Shtickel Lugot Torah and says, this is Pshat in Zohar. You have to know how to read a Zohar. Zohar is Nistir. When you learn Nistir, you have to know how to learn Nistir. Says, this is Pshat in Zohar. Yeah, you can take the Zohar, Berachel, Bitcha, Akama, with a grubbing finger and say, they pushed one to the remainder community leaders and they were frightened. He says, no, there's something much deeper. They were Russian. They were heads. And they knew when you come into Eretz Yisrael, they will not be Russian anymore. They will not be heads anymore. What's the difference between the head and the foot? What's the difference? In the head, that's the source of all vitality. That's the source of awareness. The central nervous system is in the brain. The consciousness is in the brain. Life is in the brain. And from the brain, the nervous system transfers the energy and the instructions to the rest of the body. That level of head consciousness, the awareness, living life from an authentic, full place, that will be gone, not only for them, for everybody. There won't be heads left. Sofri Shlametes is what? 1879, Shlach. Isa Zohar Here we're leaders and Exon won't be leaders. Achim Lechayr and Nina Kivada, Ekolma Shamru, Amaraglam, Hoyabavur, Kolos, Bnei Yisrael. Seems whatever they said, they represented the people. The Kibash and Ifcharu, Lechayr, Bnei Yisrael, Vada, Hoyab, Taylin, El Atsibur. The Echmucha, Moimer, and Leib, Shadibur, Machmas, Nigias, Atsibusa. He puts it different than the Shem of Shmuel. They were Shluchit Sibur. According to the Zohar, they actually looked at everybody and they said, we couldn't care less about the people. It's all about us. This is people you appoint as shluchim. So narcissistic, so self-absorbed. The whole generation was in a state of a rosh, of a brain, of a head. First of all, that generation that left Egypt and heard Hashem at Sinai, they are the heads of all of Jewish history. They are the prototype. They're the leaders. They set the stage. They started the journey. Our generation is called Ikvah the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, because Jewish history is like a journey down the body from top to bottom. So you have the generation that's the head, that's the Rosh, then you come down all the way to Ikvas Mashiach, which is like the bottom of the foot, the sole of the foot. He says, Emes Hadavar, it's true. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going down to the next level. They did not want to be dethroned, be demoted, fall down from the Tchina of Rosh. They experienced Hashem's awareness like the soul experienced in the brain. The brain feels everything, the brain is aware, the brain is the source of vitality, of consciousness. That was their relationship with life. For them, going into Eretz Yisrael is like a soul being told, you gotta go down into the body. The same thing. They were in heaven. They were in paradise. Now you have to go down to earth, to the foot. It's forced. So what was the sin? He says, but they should have asked, what does God want, not what do I want? That's what they should have asked. They were great tzaddikim. They made one mistake. Ask what Hashem wants, not what you want. I know you want to stay in paradise. I got it. I know you want to stay by the Shver your whole life. What does Hashem want from you? You want to serve yourself or you want to serve Hashem? Extraordinary insight. But Lohamid, they had to understand one more thing. Maimer Chazal, Yofer Shoachas, B'tshuvu, Maisim Toivim, B'olam Azim, B'kol Chayilam, Abba, Abba, Spayot, Moshe, Kastav, B'minyin, Zeb, Malkamach. If you take a look at the previous paragraph, take a look at the end of the Shtikel of the Kutat Torah that I quote. Abba Yoshua, V'kolim, Amru, Toivu, Ha'oretz, Ma'oid, Mi'oid. Not one Mi'oid. They were looking for Mi'oid, B'chol Mo'idecha. So Yeshua says, Toivoit ma'oit ma'oit twice.
Shal Yidei Eretz Yisrael Shalamata Davke Pchines Mitzvahs Maisiyas Davke Yumshach Pchines Eirein Soif Pchines Ma'oid Bligvul Pchines Alman Stimen Valman Dizgalin Vizel Ma'oid Ma'oid Beis Ma'oid Ma'oid Alman Stimen Valman Dizgalin. They said, you're making a bad mistake. You think that the ultimate Dveikos is going to be in the Midbar. That's not true. The ultimate Dveikos will be in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because the primary objective of existence was he should have a dwelling place in the lower world. The Medrash says in Medrash Tanchuma Nasi Nisava, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisla Dirib B'Tachtoinim, Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to have a place to live. B'Tachtoinim, literally in the lowest element of reality. The truth of existence should be exposed to every flesh. The revelation should be below just as it is above. Even more. Below it's going to be stronger than above. Why? Because the Koheles says in Ecclesiastes, the advantage of literally it means you get to appreciate light when you contrast it with Taitches the Balatanya, no. Yisinor mina choyshech. The greatest light is the light that comes when you convert choyshech into oy. Toiva ha'aretz ma'oid ma'oid. Yafish ha'achiz b'chum ma'isim toivim ba'olam hazeh. Because since the ultimate kavana of existence was dira b'tachtoinim, so therefore as a result of entering into Eretz Yisrael and going into the stress and burdens and challenges and vices of day-to-day existence, dealing with your body and your animal soul and Yetzirah and all of the issues of life, and yet, retaining your dveikus, your connection, this is the ultimate objective of all existence. Don't mourn it, and don't run from it. Does it have challenges? Of course! The whole Yiridus HaNeshama is one big crisis. All of history is one big challenge. It's the great risk that the Creator of the world took to create a place of emptiness and darkness so that the human being should create, the Jew should create Yisrin Ha'ar B'techachesh. According to this perspective, a rabbi of a community called me the other day, of another city, he's having a challenge. And the challenge is that there's a few younger light by him. And this is a very common thing today. A few younger light by him, and they're great young men, and they learned in yeshiva all their life, and they got married, and they married wonderful young women, and they're building families, and they learned in Kollel for a few years, and now it's time to go out into the world in order to be able to support their family, and they're having like a shmira. He says he doesn't know how to give them the tools to be able to do it. They feel like their life is, they're in a state of they went out, and he said they're like, it's not so fun, they're in a state of shock and torment and disoriented. And what's worse is they get comments from other people. And it's very difficult. So I told him, you have to learn with them this shtickle and swasama samakhatayna. This was the story of the Maram. This was the story of the Maram. The Maram says there's no Yiddishkeit in the real world. You want vehicles, you want Torah, you stay here. We understand that. It's paradise. What stops the man? And yet, they were grace in the shamas. But they were making a historical error. The historical error was that the objective of Yiddishkeit was to transform the world. Do you have to be connected? Of course. Can you stay connected? And not only you could stay connected, in that you fulfill the ultimate kavon of transforming the choshech into oir. There's a beautiful word from the Belzer Rav. Take a look. All on this mahalach. Zogta. Says it, Shlach Yigimel Tezayin, Eilish Moisa Anoshim, Asher Sholach Moshe Losu Dazaret, Vayikra Moshe Lohesheya Binun Yehoshua. Zogt Rashi, why does he change his name? Ispalel Olov. Hoshea must become Yehoshua because Hashem Yudke should help you from Atzas Miraglim. The Gemara says in Menachos of Chavtes, the Yud Nivra Olam Haba, and Behei Nivrei Olam Hazeh. Yud is Olam Haba, and Hei is Olam Hazeh. It's beyond the Shia today to discuss exactly the connection, but that's what the Gemara says in Menachos. So the Belzer Rav says, what was the tefillah of Yeshua? For Yeshua, Yud Ke Yoshiach Me'atzas Meraglim. The Atzas Meraglim cannot put together the Yud and the Hei. Either you're in Yud, or you're in Hei. The link between Yud and Hei, they couldn't create. Either you're in Olam Haba, if you fall down in Olam Haza, it's Eretz Yecheles Yeshve, you're going to be destroyed. We can't go up and remain Jews. It's not going to happen. Said, "Call Yoshiach Me'atzas Meraglim. Yud Ke Yoshiach Me'atzas Meraglim." According to this, we have a fascinating understanding of the structure of Parsha Shlach. Because what happens right after the story of the Meraglim? There's mitzvahs that seem completely random and irrelevant here. The first mitzvah that happens after the Meraglim is the mitzvah of Nesachim. Many karbonas that were brought, they had to be brought together with wine, libations that would be poured on the mizbeach together with the karbon, and the Torah goes through the shiurim for different animals, different karbonas, how many nesachim. What's the next mitzvah that comes out of Liam? Challah, the mitzvah of challah. When you make a dough, you mix flour and water, you make a dough, you have to separate a part that goes to the koyin. The end of the parsha, you have the mitzvah of tzitzis. The end of Parsha Shlach. What's the connection? Comes this Farsemis and says, this was the Torah's response to the Meraglim. The Meraglim were screaming, we're going to lose three things. We have the Man, we have the Be'erish of Miriam, and we have the Anani HaKavod. We have the food from heaven, bread from heaven, Lechem and Hashemayim. We have what? Water that accompanies us, the well of Miriam, and we have the clouds of glory that protect us. We're going to lose all of it. And they were right. They were right. There would be no Man, and no Be'erish of Miriam, and no Anani HaKavod. There's no clouds walking with, taking you and flying you from your house to work, and from your work to your house. It doesn't work that way. There's no Anani HaShemayim. Maybe in 50, 60 years, they'll build the robots that fly, etc. There'll be something close to it. This was their time. When it comes to tzitzis, there's a fascinating Gemara. It's a few places in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Erechayim, Melchus Tzitzis. Vayomer Hashem, Mech Dabar, Mechol, Martaleim, also Lem Tzitzis. V'nosnu al tzitzis, Hakonof, Psilchelis. So the Gemara says, Hakonof. What's v'nosnu al tzitzis, Hakonof, Psilchelis? What's the Hakonof? So the Gemara, Hakonof, Min Konof. Meaning, the tzitzis, the fringes that come down from the beged, should be the same min, the same type, the same fabric, the same material, like the beged, the garment itself. The Gemara discusses, it depends, if it's temer or pishtim, if the tzitzis are made of wool and linen, then it's always poiter. But if it's another fabric, then it has to be min kanaf, it has to be exactly the same material, like the beged itself. That's one of the yisoidus of mitzvah tzitzis. What's the connection to all of this? The Meraglim, there's a talus and there's tzitzis. What's the talus? The talus envelops you completely. The tzitzis are the little fringes that come out. Little chutim. You can't compare them to the talus. Hakonof min konof. The Meraglim are living in a talus, in Anani HaKovet. They're gone! Comes the Torah and says there's a concept of tzitzis. Tzitzis is those threads that come out of the talus. They're small, they're narrow, they're thin, they come out. But this is where, this is where Yisra Moisai, this is what you kiss, this is the Uzchartim Eschol Mitzvah Hashem. Life in the desert is like a talus. Life in Eretz Yisrael, you'll have Hakonof Min Konof. You'll bring the Kedusha into the Chutim, into the Kavim, into the lines, into the threads, much more restricted, much more narrow, into the physical, material reality, into the complications of your psyche and your life. Hakonof, but it's still going to be Min Konof. When it comes to the Man, Lechem and Hashemayim, this you have Challah. What's the idea of Challah? You're plowing, you're sowing, you're plowing and you're sowing, and you're dealing with rain, you're dealing with insects, and finally you're harvesting all the sidur, the past, the malachas of Shabbos. And then you're grinding, and you're making flour, and you're kneading it with water, and you make a dough. And from that, you take a little piece, and that becomes Kedushas Challah. Don't say Eretz Yecheles Yeshve. That's not true. That's going to be your mom. And the whole avodah in the earth is now
sublimated and elevated. And you're complaining about the Be'erish Shalmirim, about the water. You're going to plant a vineyard with all of the headaches and turmoil, and then you're going to harvest your grapes, and you're going to press the grapes and squeeze the grapes and turn it into wine, and part of that wine is going to be poured as the Sochim on the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. And this will be your Be'erish Shalmirim. But what are you accomplishing here? Toiva Aretz Moed Ma'oid. You're sublimating and elevating the world, rather than escaping it and just remaining in a utopia, which of course gives us a perspective of the miraglim with the tiniest tzaddikim, why we fast on the day they died. It also gives us a perspective that Dabar Shebe Kedusha, what's the idea of Dabar Shebe Kedusha? Dabar Shebe Kedusha actually is, you tear yourself away from the physical world and you come to daven and learn. This you learn from the miraglim. The miraglim were experts at this. The Meraglim, their problem was they wanted only Bikdusha. They wanted only Makdishach all day. They didn't want anything else. Fakert! They're the greatest minion. The problem is they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay stuck right there. Why should you leave? By the way, it's interesting. I was once giving a lecture. It was a little bit of a complicated, controversial issue. We're talking about feminism and men and women, roles in Judaism. So one of the people started to scream, if you don't treat women as second-class citizens, why aren't they in a minyan? Why don't you combine women in a minyan? What's this mistreatment? So I looked at the woman and I said, you don't realize the great shvach for you that we don't combine you in a minyan. The whole reason we have a minyan is because we once had an old minyan, and they were called the Ten Meraglim. And Hashem said, "At Mosay Leidai Ro Azoy Shalom." I have to deal with such miserable minyan. So Adayoy Mazel, we bring 10 men together every day to try to fix their mistake and be mekadosh koy shemayim. Women weren't part of the Chet HaMeraglim. Chazal tell us that the women were not part of the Meraglim. That's why the women all went into Eretz Yisrael. That's why we have a shidduch issue, because there were more women than men. They never went into Eretz Yisrael. They all went into Eretz Yisrael. What do they have with a minyan? A minyan is trying to be misakin the Chet HaMeraglim. You're lucky. It's not shayich to you. But the truth is, it's not just a tzachos. Because the yisoid of the mistake that you could connect to Hashem only in heaven, not on earth, this is a masculine mistake. It's not a feminine mistake. In Judaism, this is a masculine mistake that detaches heaven from earth. In the feminine Weltanschauung, God is naturally found in earth. The physicality is l'chadchila chelek of ruchnis. That's the concept of a yamulke. What's a yamulke? Yarmulke has two words. Yare mekel. Right, you knew that. Yare mekel. Here is Hashem. Over your head, you have to remember you have a Ribbono Shel Olam. But where is he? He's above your head. By the woman, the whole body is a grace to Yarmulke. The Gemara says, Isha commanda mehila damya. It's born with a nice bris kodesh. That's why the Klei Yochur says, Moshe should have sent women, not men. Kulam Moshe, that was the problem. Hey, the truth is, he says, hey, Mechavim is a Saharit. The Jews were screaming, Nitna Roish ben Ashuva Mitzrayimah, let's go back to Egypt. And the women were telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu, B'nai Slavchot. Ten Mamu Nachla, give us a part of Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is the link between heaven and earth, as the Shem Yishmuel says, Kishur Shamayim Ba'aretz. And this is a masculine struggle more than a feminine struggle. And the Oymer Ka'inyan Bazaar, why that has to do with the Shoyrish of femininity and masculinity in Nistar and Kabbalah, it's Ein Kanamakim, it's not for today, but this is the Yisoy. And that's why Mitzvah's Tzitzis, at the end of the parasha, summarizes it, because the challenge from Talis to come to Tzitzis, that's the great calling of Parsha Shlach. From the Talis that envelops Roshay Merubay in Kedusha, to be able to take that and bring it into the Tzitzis, into the structured day-to-day life which is completely involved in Gashmias. This is the great challenge and the great mitzvah and the great opportunity of Tzitzis, and that's why Tzitzis is at the end of the parsha. Take a look now. A word from Reb Shmuel Vital and Shar Apsukim and Asar Mamoris. Reb Shmuel Vital was the son of Reb Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital was great Dayan and Rav in Damascus, domestic in Syria. He was the Talmud Muvik of the Arizal, who transcribed most of his writings, passed away in the 1600s, in the 17th century, And Reb Chaim Vital had a sefer, had a son, Reb Shmuel Vital, who was the one who actually published the writings of his father with most Kisvei Arizal we have because of Reb Shmuel Vital. One of the Arizal Svarim for Reb Chaim Vital is called Shar HaPsutim on Chumash. Over there he has a shtickel, and Reb Shmuel Vital gives a footnote. It just gives you a perspective. Zot Reb Shmuel Vital. Hoyil b'nafik mipume derav, the Arizal brings over there a Torah. And that is, why did Moshe daven only for Yehoshua, not for Kalev? Why not for Kalev? Why not for the other ones? So he says Moshe was afraid that Yehoshua's life will be in danger. Why? Because at the end of Bahaloscha, right before he sent the Meraglim, Eldon and May that started to prophesize. What did they say? You remember? Chazal say, they said, Moshe Meis, V'Yeshua Machlis Meis Rolores. The Rizal says, that's the Rosh Hashanah, Eldon Umeidot Misnabim Bamachana. Misnabim, Moshe, Tikoneis Nafshoi Began Elohim, Yeshua Machlisom. You got that? Misnabim, Moshe Tehei, or Tikoneis Nafshe Began Elohim, Moshe's soul will go into the garden of Hashem, Yeshua will take them in. Misnabim Bamachana already tells you what they said. Yeshua is going to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim are all going to think to themselves, of course he won't tell the Jews not to go into Eretz Yisrael, because he's going to be the guy. Moshe is going to pass away. So he'll never join us. So he became the enemy in the eyes of the Meraglim. So Moshe had to daven for them. For him, for Yeshua. Because he was in danger. So Shmuel Vital says, Hoyol v'nofek v'pome d'rabim. This is what the Rabbi of the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria said. Then I have a new perspective on the Meraglim. And this is what he says. L'masha itziyu diba al-arz k'deshlo yikon fi Yisrael l'saycha. You know why they didn't want the Jewish people to go into it? Liyois, shesham u'nevuas, elda d'meidat, Moshe meis v'yeshua machas. L'chein toiv l'arigas Yeshua, v'gam ligram sh'lo'ichnesu Yisrael l'aretz, v'yishar Moshe chai v'kayim. Shmuel Vital Tainas, the Meraglim were obsessed with love for Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew they're going to take so Moshe is going to pass away. They decided, we're going to betray Moshe, we're going to betray the Ratzon Hashem, we're going to dissuade the people from going into Eretz Yisrael, and you know what's going to happen? We'll stay in the desert, and Moshe will remain alive. And here we come to one of the most astonishing things in the whole story that people don't realize. Imagine, I send you on a particular mission that is very vital to me. You betray me. You cause mass hysteria. You destroy the whole plan. What do you think the punishment should be? You think the punishment should be to give in and give you what you want? That's exactly what happened. The Jews said, we're not going into Eretz Yisrael. We're not. We can't do this. It's not going to happen. What was the punishment? The punishment was, okay. They lived 40 years. They had Moshe Rabbeinu. They had Aaron. They had the Man. They had the Anani HaKavir. They had the Shechinah. They had the Torah. They had the Yerushal Miriam. They had all the miracles. They had Moshe teaching Torah for 40 years. Exactly what they wanted. According to the above, we understand that the time of the Deir HaMidbar was, we don't want to go to Rachel, we want Leah. A chet it was, but it came from dveikus, not from lowliness. Rav Shmuel Vital says even more. They were so in love with Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't want to lose him. And they knew they could get punished for it, so they sacrificed themselves so that Moshe Rabbeinu should be chai v'kayam, Moshe should stay alive, and it was fulfilled. He lived 40 more years because of them. So Rav Shmuel Vital writes. Comes the Helik HaSarim HaMoritz. Maimer Chikur Din Helik Beis Perik HaSarim HaMoritz is a sefer that was authored by one of the greatest poskim and mekubalim of Italy. Passed away in 1620. Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah of Fanu, Italy. He's known as the Rameh Mipanu. He's famous for his Shalos Tshuvos or Rameh Mipanu. He has a sefer HaSarim HaMoritz. There's a machloikis in Sanhedrin that Kuf Ches between Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Lezer says, Doir HaMidbar Yeshvam Chelik Lelum Haba. Rabbi Akiva says, Doir HaMidbar Ein Lem Chelik Lelum Haba. Midbar Azeh Yitlu Figreichem Misham Yitamu. They don't have a Chelik Lelum Haba. Zog the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva, Shofke Lachasidusei. Rabbi Akiva is Gemara Ois Chosid. Rabbi Akiva lost his chassidus, his piety. He said that ask the Rambam, how could Rabbi Akiva say such a thing? The whole the Gemara says he lost his chassidus. Shavki lechassidus, he abandoned his chesed. We all know their greatness. Don't forget, they're the only ones who ever saw God. The only ones. Face to face. Now these are the words of the Rambam Yifanus. Rabbi Akiva learns out, listen to his words. They don't need Olam Haba. Ein lem chelek doesn't mean they don't have a part. They don't need the whole Olam Haba. Why not? But al gavdam rali Rabbi Yochanan shafkei Rabbi Akiva lechassidus. So why does Rabbi Yochanan get upset and say Rabbi Akiva abandoned his chassidus? If this is what he meant, hainu mishum da amra lemilse the lishna the mishtama letrei ampi. Because the way he said it, it can be interpreted wrongly that they don't have a chelek Olam Haba. He said it in a way that can have a double interpretation, positive or negative. And the reason he did that, he says later, is because he wanted to achieve atonement for their sin, Rabbi Akiva. But what he meant was, they don't need Olam Haba. What does this mean? It says about Olam Haba, the Gemara, it says at the end of Tainis, that when Olam Haba, all the tzaddikim, us, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, lasses machal tzaddikim, and everybody's going to point their finger, but Omar Bayoimahu, he may have a this is Olam Haba. But hey, how do you love the this they already did in Olam Haba. What do they need Olam Haba for? They already had it all here, Zeh Kaili. This type of intimacy with the Rabbanu Shalom, they had in Olam Haba. So they're beyond Olam Haba. That's Tareilam Chelik Olam Haba. They're beyond Olam Haba. This is what Rabbi Akiva says. Here again, fascinating. On one level, you talk about Dera Midbi, you talk about the Meraglim, it says, Ein Lam Chilak Olam Haba, comes Asar Ma Morris, and he says, beyond Olam Haba. A sin it was. Sadikim, they also were. They have Gevolt Zayin, Ha'edim Af Kesa, the Chidur Sharim says. According to all of this, we now come back to the first Gemara. Afilu Baal Habayis, Ein O Yachal O'Hoitzi Kelof. How can they be such koifrim and say Hashem can't do it? Everything we explain is Hashem. But what do they say Hashem can't do? Chazakum imenu. We don't want to go, fine. We don't want to start becoming farmers and merchants and businessmen and stressed out by life. But what's Hashem no chal ki chazakum imenu? So in conclusion, I'm going to share with you a Torah that was shared by the Lubavitcher Rebbe based on this Likutei Torah of the Baal HaTanya, which explains this Mahalach, and it's in his Likutei Sichas volume 4, Parsha Shlach, from a talk of Shlach Tov Shin Chol Beis, 1962, I believe. The Vart is this. The Meraglim weren't Kaifrim. You had to be stupid to be a Kaifrim. As I said before, what do you eat for breakfast? What do you eat for lunch? What are you eating for dinner? In the middle of your speech, you were screaming, Loi nucha lalois efes! Somebody gave you a cup of water, yeah? Where did they get that cup of water that you're drinking while you're screaming, Loi nucha lalois? Oh, from this rock. How did that happen? That God, really? What's his Loi nucha lalois? The Meraglim had a much more sophisticated time. Afilu bal habayis eina yahach loitzi kei love. What they were saying is as follows. I understand that Hashem could lead us in a way that is supernatural, that is beyond nature. It's not a problem. It's His world. He can split a sea. He can make makas. He can give us a Torah. It's His world. As the Baal HaBos, He can do what He wants. We understand that. That's what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what's happening in the Midbar. But our issue is this. We all know that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, the same God who took us out of Mitzrayim supernaturally said, now boys, fun is over. You know? The test is over. It's time to become independent. I'm here with you, but I'm here with you in a different way. It's in Teva. If that's the case, the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to run the word Alpi Teva, fine. But now, let's look at the reality of nature. In the natural reality, like, Chazal describes the nature of the giants, describes the nature of the fruits. The clusters of grapes that they brought down lasted them for libations for the 40 years in the desert. There was a half a pomegranate, Chazal say, that all the 12 miraglim hid into. It was like a cave. Until the girl who opened the pomegranate thought her father's going to get upset, so she picks up the half a pomegranate and throws it over and all of them fall out. So when they see all of these giants, they see all these realities, they say, can Hashem take it over? Of course. Supernaturally, of course. But you can't have it both ways. If you're telling me we're going into Eretz Yisrael and I'm a halach of Nes, a supernatural pattern, fine. But on one hand you tell me we have to plant and we have to sow. On one hand you tell me we have to fight and we have to defend ourselves. On one hand you tell me we have to create an infrastructure all based on natural circumstances. And that's the path we're going to take, and that's why you're sending spies, as the Ramban says, before you go conquer a place, that's the way to send a spy. The Ramban has an expression there. You have to check out the ramps, you have to check out the siege towers, the soil alloys, the ramps, he says, the siege, you have to check, fine. If that's the case, with the cheshbon of Teva, it's his Caleb. He made Teva. He gave Teva the power. Who says Ein Soimchen Al Hanes? Him. Who says we can't shenit nereshus l'roi for l'rapus? You have to go to a doctor. Who says that the world runs in nature and you have to respect that and you have to work within those? It's his Caleb. He set up that system. And he wants us to uphold that system. He's not telling us to go fly in heaven. He's saying you're going to work in Teva. If that's the case, you can't have it both ways. Rebbeinu Shalom, decide what you want to do. If you want to lead a supernatural gezunta, hey, let's go back to square one and start off. We'll do delete and reset. Fine. But you want us to go with Teva, then you tell us you're going to conquer it. We don't know chalalas yichazak umimenu. It's a new saying. What was their mistake? Their mistake was the same yisoid. And the yisoid was, for them there was a detachment between yud and hey. For them, teva is teva, and l'mayla mina teva is l'mayla mina teva. Heaven is heaven, earth is earth. But the yisoid of Yiddishkeit is that earth is also heaven, and nature is also miraculous, and the body is a mirror of the soul. And nature is another expression of the supernatural. The Yud and the K are one name. Koyush Yachem Yatzas Meraglim. Hakonof, Min Konof. It's the Zelba Min. The same Ribbono Shel Olam who splits the sea is the same one who gives you Parnasa through the vehicles of nature. The same Ribbono Shel Olam who took you out of Egypt is the same one who walks with you in your daily interactions, in your daily life, in your daily relationships, in business or in your home or in the Shul and the Beis Medrash. It's the same reality. So therefore, if Hashem says that you should go into Eretz Yisrael and you can conquer it, it's not pshat that the laws of nature are going to be destroyed. Nature is also from Him. So if nature is also from Him, im chafetz banu Hashem, says Kalev. If this is the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so this is what's going to happen in the natural world. It's Sezayin Welt. Sezayin Welt. That link, that integration, was too difficult for them to understand because they were holy, because they were sublime. They tell a Maisa that there was a child who wanted an anecdote, he wanted $100. So he comes to his mother, he says, give me $100. $100, go to your father. Goes to his father, give me $100. $100. Gives him $1, says, hey, go buy yourself a can of Coke, leave me alone. What do you do when your father and your mother both reject you and don't give you $100? You go to Hashem. So he writes a letter to Hashem, dear God, Tati and Mommy refused $100, refused to give me $100, please, I need it. He puts it in an envelope, he stamps it, and he addresses it to the Lord of the USA. He thinks to himself, the Lord is everywhere, he must be in America too. He puts it in the post and he puts it in the mailbox. He stamps it, the post office gets it, they see an envelope to the Lord of the USA. Who's the Lord of the USA? So the closest they can think of, they send it to President Obama. President Obama gets the letter, he opens the letter, a boy wants $100, he feels bad for the kid, he tells the secretary, send him $5 in the mail. The president thinks, a boy with that $5 in the mail, he'll be overjoyed.
especially he gets it from the President of the United States, the Lord of the USA. The Jewish boy gets his $5, he looks at it, and he sits down to write a thank you letter to God. And the letter read as follows: Dear God, thank you so much for fulfilling my request and sending me $100. However, I noticed that for whatever reason you were compelled to send the money through Washington. And those idiots deducted 95% for taxes before they gave me the rest. So do me a favor, next time, if you could please send all the money directly. This is the question, and it's not an anecdote. The money comes through Washington, but not from Washington. They said, "Ki chazaku mimenu." Nature is nature. God made a system. Can't fight with the system. You want the system, it's a system. The system is also divine. Teva is also an expression of Lamayla Minateva. Ein oit mulvadoi. Ein oit mulvadoi means Kichoil Bashamayim of Aaretz, says the Targum, the Achid Bashamayim of Aaretz. Earth is also heaven. Nature is also mass. The sun rising and the sun setting. The daily mechanisms of life within a world of nature is all divine. And therefore, if Hashem sent you into Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to call it a miracle in order to be able to be victorious. Within the world of nature, you will be able to triumph, you will be able to be victorious, because ultimately it's His nature. It's His world. Nature is also an expression of His will. It's His system. Balabayas, of course, he can be Moitzi Kalev. It's his Kalev, and he's in the Kalev, even when you call it the Kalev of Teva. So in conclusion, we have here one of the great fundamentals of Yiddishkeit that is expressed in this story. And that is that one of the greatest challenges that we have to avoid is the sense of insecurity, the lack of confidence, when we have to face the big world out there, and when we have to face the big gigantic world in here. And both of these often constitute tremendous threats and downfalls for Jews, for Oyvei Hashem. They feel they have no tools and resources, like the Meraglim felt, Ki chazaku mimenu, not recognizing that all the choshech, all the challenges from within and without, are only an invitation to be megala ein oy mulvada, even in the darkness, to fulfill the nesava liyas loydirim betachtoinim, even in the tachtoinim. So instead of worshiping the darkness, surrendering to it, and becoming defeated by it, the perspective has to be on the contrary. This is the place, this is the abode, where you fulfill the objective of existence to reveal the achdus, to reveal the unity in every nekuda of Shemayim and Avaretz. Have a wonderful day.